Agenda item number 10, report and possible discussion on capital projects update by Chuck Wolf, Technical Service Manager.
Okay, good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Chuck.
One of the things that we'd like to be able to start doing is bringing to you quarterly what we're doing with some of the capital projects throughout the basin, and then some other work that we're doing internally to improve our consistency in how we deliver on those capital projects. So today's presentation is going to hit on both of those items if it pulls up. So we'll have a brief overview of a project leadership management process that we've launched in the second half of 2018, calendar year 2018, and then go through a few of the capital projects we currently have going on or on the horizon, and then I'll be available for any questions you may have. So in September, we started a process within the BRA to look at how we deliver projects and try to develop a better level of consistency in the way that we approach project management, project leadership. We have great project managers, we have great project leaders throughout the organization, but we hadn't done anything to sort of pull together the best practices from those individuals and then deploy that on a consistent basis across BRA and how we deliver our projects. So the approach for this was we wanted to review and develop some standard practices that are specific to the authority. We are patterning these off the Project Management Institute recommendations, which is a set of best practices that are in the industry for project management, project oversight. They also extend beyond just capital projects. They cover IT projects, operational projects, anything that you would manage with an individual. Then once those items are adopted, and I'll talk a little bit about the process in a second, we have monthly training that we launched. We had a kickoff meeting in October, and we're going through a training session where anybody who is currently a project manager or would like to develop as part of their career path into being a project manager is welcome to participate in those training sessions. And then we also record them so that they're available for future use as well. And then we have a process that we're starting this calendar year that will be to build standard tools for project managers and project teams that they can use. So we'll talk a little bit about what each of these are. There we go. With an effort this significant, we brought together a lot of good minds. I'll go back to the good minds in a second. So we have a steering team that this slide doesn't want to come up. And I don't want to have to do it from memory because I'll lose somebody out. So we have a steering team of our management team members, including Aaron Abel, Brad Burnett, Courtney Dobagai, Jim Forte, Mike McClendon, Tiffany Morgan, Matt Phillips, David Thompson, Lorelei Vallon, and Monica Wheelis, to sort of capture a broad brush of the organizational leadership and different departments that are impacted by this. We also assigned four pilot projects. So what we didn't want to do is have the process roll out and not have any testing for what processes we were putting in place. So Trey Busby, Steve Hamlin, Kim Mayo, and Jenna Olson offered to be the guinea pigs for the processes as we're putting them out and to provide us honest feedback on what worked and what didn't work. With this, we've got two projects that are in design, a project that's in construction, and then a purely operational planning project with the Zebra Mussels pre-listing permit. So we're able to look at how these work across a diversity of projects. We're also getting excellent staff support from Ace Fuller, who's coordinating the large group. And then Brett Thomas, who's been providing a lot of the IT backroom support for our project management systems. So work that we've done thus far, we went through a process of reviewing our existing processes. There was a effort done in 2016 that sort of pulled together some information. We sort of put together that information and feathered in stuff that's developed since 2016. We've been recommending and testing enhancements through the pilot projects. So we've gone through things such as project documentation, action items, project coordination, some of the basic things to sort of get consistency across the BRA. And then as these enhancements have been confirmed, we've been rolling them out to the rest of the organization, as I mentioned, through the training sessions that we've been conducting. One of the initial outputs of this effort was to sort of map our project lifecycle. And there's a couple of things on this map that are pretty important. The first one is that dotted box you see, which is the risk-based capital management and planning process. We're going to talk about that in the next agenda item. But this ties back into Mr. Collinsworth's presentation in April about how we want to make sure that we incorporate risk management into our planning process for projects. So that's a part of this that's built into this. There's also, if you see the black bars that are on certain things, such as project workshop, worksheets. I'm going to take a chance here. Yes. So project budget workshops, RFP process, negotiate contracts. What these black bars are is they are risk management committee meetings, and they are established predetermined risk management meetings we would have for every project as it moves through the process. It doesn't mean that we can't have other meetings as necessary, but these would be gates, if you will, that we want to pass through as we go through a project evolution. And then the stars are things that were identified early on as things that we needed to train on. So stars and corners of boxes indicate sort of the training curriculum for the project managers as we go through this. Made a mistake. We'll come back to it. Another thing that we were able to do is we were able to define some standard team roles and terms and put responsibilities around these roles. So project manager, in particular project engineer, was a title that was sort of held differently throughout the organization. Some projects it meant one thing, for other projects it meant something else. So what we've been able to do is we have other roles, but the ones you're going to hear in these project updates fall into these categories. So project sponsor is a project's management team member. The critical responsibility for someone on a management team that's sponsoring a project is to make sure the project team gets everything they need. So the project manager has the support that they need, the project team has the resources that they need. Project managers are internal owner of a project. That doesn't mean that they have to be technically strong in what we're overseeing. They just have to be the owner of the project, make sure they leverage the resources that are given to them. Project engineer for projects that require a project engineer would be the technical lead on the project. These are typically projects we're working with consultants. A person would help lead that interface, make sure that we're technically checking the box when you check. And then we also have a spot for project advisors, which is specialized support and experience we take from different departments within the BRA where they're needed. So for some of our larger projects, they'll have environmental issues, for example, we want to coordinate with, make sure we have project advisors out of Tiffany Morgan's group for that. We did start the training, as I mentioned, in October. We've had four sessions now. The first one was a kickoff session. The second session was in November. It was really focusing on project management fundamentals, everything from how to build a strong project team to what the expectations of these different roles are. In December, we did a full launch of the risk management committee process. This pulls back around the presentation made to you in April about how we use risk and manage risk within our projects. Including guidance on how the risk management committee should be set, who would be the attendants, when those meetings should be held, what to expect from the meetings, as well as some general training on what is risk and how should you manage risk in projects and project deliveries. Some of the upcoming work that we have on this process, so we're going to continue training through 2019 at least. We'll probably continue it well into 2020. You can't cover a lot of ground once a month, but since we're doing this primarily with internal staff, there's only so much time that we can divert away to develop training. So we have a financial management 101 coming up in February, and then Laura Lee's legal team is going to take the team through best practices on legal and contract coordination in March. Along the way, we're going to do an update on Microsoft Project. For those of you that are maybe not familiar with it, it's part of the Office suite, but it's made for management of projects and scheduling of projects. We do use it. We also are going to do purchasing and procurement, a lot more discussion on risk. If you saw on that slide, it was risk management part one. So we'll do parts two and three this year as well. We're going to go ahead and continue documentation on risk committee process and standardize those approaches. As the risk management committee is moving forward, it's a new process. We want to make sure we capture best practices for it as well. And then provide support to the project managers, which is what this entire process is built around. And then review improvements with projects that are currently underway. So with that, I'll take you through a few of the projects that are currently underway or on the horizon. So we sort of have this part of the presentation broken down to projects that are on the horizon, projects that are underway, and the ones that are either complete or nearly complete. So one of the ones that's on the horizon that is a relatively small engineering contract, but three items at Possum Kingdom that we want to get addressed. One is to get a new boathouse constructed towards the lower end of the lake so that we can be more responsive to issues that are on the lake. We also have a weir box that measures flow that comes through the dam itself under Bay 9. Those of you that are probably familiar, there's a lot of hydrogen sulfide in that area, so it's been pretty aggressive to the weir box. So we need to get that replaced and modified so we can get better measurement of that flow. And then there's a box culvert that provides access to the dam during flood operations that we also make sure that we get repaired. So we have selected an engineer for this work. We're in the process of negotiating the scope and fee and hope to get this process started here in the next several months with design. But I should mention the project sponsor for that is Mike McLennan, and the project manager for that is Blake Kettler. And the project engineer is Jesus Contreras, who's one of our more junior engineers, but it's an opportunity for him to grow into that role as well. Next project on the horizon is Belton Stillhouse Pipeline. We've talked about this one before. This is a 6-mile pipeline that connects Lake Belton and Stillhouse Hollow Lake, helps complete the Williamson County Regional Raw Water System, provides quite a bit of flexibility for the system. This is a much more substantial project compared to the one we just discussed. Project sponsor for this is Brad Burnett. Project manager for this is Trey Busby. He's also doing the Lake Limestone, which is the pilot project that we're working on. And then David Jones is our project engineer for this. So we have completed engineer selection on this project as well, and we're going through the scope and negotiation process with the hope to have this back to you in April for contract approval. Next project is Possum Kingdom. Our project sponsor for this is Mike McClendon, and this is the Castles, the concrete assessments. Project manager for this work is Jeff Salmon, and then our project engineer for this work is David Jones as well. You can hear David's name a lot, by the way. They sort of hit a lot of David's projects right now. This is a one-year evaluation that's going to lead into further evaluations and capital projects to really get at the concrete that and the structure of the Moore Shepherd Dam and make sure that we're doing whatever we can to protect it and increase its longevity into the future. So there's been some preliminary work that has started up already on this, and then we're looking to have a formal kickoff here in another couple weeks to get into the meat of this evaluation.
What's the acronym, the Castle?
Concrete Assessment
Service Lobby,
by the way. Yes, thank you. environmental engineer, better with environmental. Yeah, I was right. Our next project, which is currently underway, is the Lake Limestone improvements. We've got several improvements going on at the Sterling C. Robertson Dam. The most significant of these is a replacement of the tanner gates at the dam. So this is actually photos that were taken during the evaluation of the tanner gates. So we had our consultant out there working on that. What you see on the right-hand side is a three-dimensional model that they've started to develop as part of their design efforts for the project. We have 30% design expected on February 5th. So February is going to be a very busy internal month as we have to go through the review of this project. And then we'll be looking at 60% design sometime in the summer and then hopefully moving this project forward. There's some other projects that are under consideration as well that are connected to this, these improvements, and we'll be evaluating those and bringing them back to you. Oh, yes. So Bill Swanson, Ryan Murdoch are in the back. Our project sponsor for this is Brad Burnett. Our project manager for this is Trey Busby. And then our project engineer on this is Jeffrey Posevar, our dam engineer. That's DAM engineer. It's a little inside joke. Next project we want to talk about is our Trinity groundwater wells. This is another project where Brad Burnett's the project sponsor on it. David Jones is the project engineer and project manager for this project. This is a significant groundwater well project, about 3,000 feet deep, over 24-inch diameter well, 9 stages for those of you that like groundwater pumps, so it's a very high-pressure pump. So we have the pump actually went in at the end of last week. These are some photos during construction, and we're looking to get this facility completed here in February and start testing the well. There is some more work that we have to do for integration of this water into the customer systems that we'll have to evaluate, but that process can start now that we have a well that we can get some water out of for sampling.
What's the depth of that water well?
It's over 3,000 feet. It's right in that area, so it's quite a deep well. And it generates about 3,000 to 5,000 acre feet of yield per year. So, and our final project, and this is one that I think made a lot of people in the organization very happy, maybe even made Aaron cry a little bit, was the work that RSMU Group did. So Mike McClendon was the project sponsor on this, David Bloodworth is project manager, David Jones was the project engineer, to get our 78-inch rainjet valve back operational. So this is sort of like fixing the engine of a car while the car is still probably moving. So they had to fabricate pieces, they had to do specialized welds, they had to do a lot of work actually with the vendor. But we were able to get this 78-inch operational earlier this month and have been able to use it for operations. So it's about 2,200 cubic feet per second it can produce. The 42-inch is on the horizon. We're working on that right now. When they broke it apart to look at it, they had found that there was some water that had gotten into places it wasn't supposed to get into. So working with the manufacturer to try to seal up those gears and then get those put back online. But big success story for our internal construction group and showing how great the work they do and how significant it can be for us. So with that, if there's any other questions on these, I can take them. Yes, ma'am.
You were basing a lot on the new process that you're going through. Who does the training and who trains the trainers?
So very good question. So we've been doing a lot. I've actually been doing quite a bit of the training for these upfront portions. So some of you know I'm actually a professor at Texas A&M. So and I teach this stuff. So that helps a little bit. But we're starting to get into areas where we've got great technical expertise within the authority. So Jim Forte and David Thompson will be doing the financial discussions. Laura Lee and her team will be doing the legal discussions. We'll be doing our purchasing with our purchasing group. So what my job sort of will transition into is making sure that we've got a good curriculum and we're just trying to get the message across as well as possible.
You're going to be documenting how well it's working and when you have to do a loop to change the training so that you're documenting all that so we can use it forever.
Yes. So we are. So we've been tape recording everything so far because we've been out of the building. But once we get back in the building, we'll do these trainings in the boardroom so that we can videotape them. And we do expect there to be quite a bit of review because it's new material for a lot of people. It's material that's coming out of pretty quick, but that's part of the reason why supporting the project managers is a big piece of what we're trying to do too.
But you're tagging on something that's right where we're going. It's a cultural change.
Yes.
So that when we get this group within our organization doing these projects, assessing the risk, going through these procedures, the new people that come in, that will be the way that we do business.
Yep.
That's what we're trying to do.
That's fantastic. Sounds good. Sounds like you got a lot of work to do and a lot of chances to see if this is going to work.
Yes. Okay. We hope to have more chances.
Okay.
We hope to have plenty of chances to see how it works. Absolutely.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yes, sir.
You're repairing jet repairs. Does that mean the COCs are operational though?
Yes.
Right now?
Yes. At least the 70. It's one COC that splits into two, but the 78 is operational. No, we have used it. I think we used it the day that it became operational. I think Aaron sent an email out about 5 minutes later saying that we're using it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's been on for a while.
Yeah. Any other questions?
The central office was in the materials, but I'm... Somebody else is?
No, it must have skipped through that. I knew there was something that we jumped through a little bit faster than I thought we were supposed to. There it is. So the central office building.
There you go.
Oh,
great. There you go.
Oh, you see it.
Stay.
No. One time.
That's where I'm pointing at it, Nancy. All right. Yes, so the central office building renovations is well underway. The project is, I toured it 2 weeks ago. It's going to be great. It's going to provide some more meeting space for the staff. We've done some other upgrades. Even little things like if you see the patches on that bottom right screen, we had a lot of shrinkage cracking throughout the building that you probably would never notice if you looked up. If you looked up, you saw it. So because we're repainting, we're able to make those repairs and really sort of make the facility new again. So that project's moving along well. We're expecting to have a turnover of the server room at the end of this week, so we'll be able to start the process of bringing servers back online so we can move back in. And then substantial completion is February 15th, so February 18th and into early March, we'll start moving staff back into space. We're going to move on to the next one.
Any questions on this?